Living Well, Pathways of Pain. Peripheral neuropathy has other causes than Agent Orange exposure. By Mark L. First. Agent Orange is one of the most well-known causes of peripheral neuropathy, PN, among veterans. But one can be eligible for a disability rating for many other medical problems. VA presumes that veterans' early onset PN is related to their exposure to Agent Orange or other herbicides during service when the disease appears within 1 year of exposure to a degree of at least 10% disabling by VA's rating regulations. Veterans who served in Vietnam, the Korean Demilitarized Zone, or another area where Agent Orange was sprayed may be eligible for a free Agent Orange Registry Health Exam. VA defines peripheral neuropathy as a condition of the peripheral nervous system, which consists of nerves outside the brain and spinal cord. Systems include numbness, tingling or prickling in the toes or fingers in early stages. This may spread to the feet or hands and cause burning, throbbing, or shooting pain that is worse at night. Other systems include pain equally in both sides of the body, in both hands or both feet, muscle weakness, loss of balance or coordination, and extreme sensitivity to touch. The peripheral nerves are like cables that connect the different parts of a computer. According to the National Institutes of Health, nerve signaling in neuropathy is disrupted in three ways: loss of signals normally sent, like a broken wire; inappropriate signaling when there shouldn't be any, like static on a telephone line; and errors that distort the messages being sent, like a wavy television picture. Symptoms depend on the type of nerve fibers affected and the type of severity of damage, and may develop over days, weeks, or years. PN is often misdiagnosed due to the complex array of symptoms. An estimated 20 million or more Americans have some form of PN, but not all those with symptoms receive proper testing. VA disability ratings depend on the severity and frequency of symptoms. Other common causes of PN among veterans include diabetes. Up to 70% of diabetics have mild to severe forms of damage to sensory, motor, and autonomic nerves, causing numbness, tingling, or burning feet, one-sided bands of pain, and numbness and weakness on the trunk or pelvis. Any veteran who was diagnosed with diabetes in service or whose diabetes manifested while on active duty is eligible for service connection. Vascular and blood problems. Reduced flow of oxygen in the blood to peripheral nerves can cause nerve tissue damage. Smoking and narrowing of the arteries from high blood pressure or atherosclerosis, fatty deposits on the inside of blood vessel walls, can lead to PN. Autoimmune diseases. One's immune system may mistakenly attack the body's own tissues, causing inflammation, including in nerve fibers. Multiple sclerosis, MS, lupus, and rheumatoid arthritis are systemic autoimmune diseases that cause neuropathic pain. Autoimmune diseases are often found among Gulf War veterans. Hormonal imbalances. Hypothyroidism is another condition often seen among Gulf War veterans. When thyroid hormones slow production, the metabolism also slows down, leading to fluid retention and swollen tissues that put pressure on peripheral nerves, causing pain. Kidney and liver disorders. These disorders can lead to abnormally high amounts of toxic substances in the blood and damage nerve tissues. Certain cancers and benign tumors. Tumors sometimes infiltrate or press on nerve fibers. Also, certain chemotherapy drugs used to treat cancer cause PN in 30 to 40% of patients. Infections. viral infections that cause shingles, West Nile virus, cytomegalovirus, and herpes target sensory fibers and can cause sharp pain. To diagnose PN, a doctor will typically request a medical history, physical and neurological exams, body fluid tests, and genetic tests. Additional tests to help determine the nature and extent of PN may include physiological tests of nerve function and radiological imaging. Mark L. First is a Brooklyn-based health and fitness writer. Split decisions. Some people split their pills to make their medicine and money go a little further. But WebMD warns that many medications cannot be safely split. Much can go wrong, including hyper-accurate dosing on some drugs, making even a small difference in the two halves of a pill a health risk. Split pills turning to powder, making it difficult to divide equally. The difficulty of splitting pills cleanly with unsteady hands or impaired vision. To avoid these serious and, in some cases, life-threatening issues, WebMD advises people to consult with their doctors or pharmacists. Scored pills are easier to split evenly, but that doesn't always mean a pill is safe to split. Also, check the package insert to see if the FDA has approved a drug for splitting. Moreover, some pills cannot be split, no matter what a pharmacist or doctor might say. For example, a pill with a hard outer coat is produced that way to allow it to be easily absorbed into the body. Splitting it can make it harder to swallow and even change the way your body absorbs the medicine. Extended-release pills are specially formulated to deliver a certain dosage of medicine over a certain period of time. If split, such a pill could lose this potency. Because these capsules contain powder or gel, they cannot be split. If a physician or pharmacist gives the green light and it's safe to split according to those guidelines, WebMD advises using a pill splitter, washing hands before and after using the pill splitter, and asking the pharmacist for instructions. Breathing easy. Several months into the pandemic, face masks have become a big part of public and even private life. For those who weren't used to wearing such coverings as part of a job or hobby, the transition may have been difficult, and some may still struggle. Cliff Dryden, director of respiratory therapy at New York Presbyterian Hospital's Weill Cornell Medical Center, identifies some common challenges of wearing masks, including getting winded more easily, feeling the need to breathe harder, and skin irritation. There's definitely an impact, Dryden says at NYP's Health Matters site. A face mask is designed to allow you to function, but you won't be able to function at 100% capacity. His advice for optimal mask wearing includes, let yourself get accustomed to the mask. Don't wear a mask unless necessary. If you lose your breath, open wide and breathe deeply until you get it back. If you can find a space without people, take your mask off for a bit and breathe deeply. Stand or sit up straight. Make workouts shorter and less intensive. Break them into smaller pieces. For outdoor exercise, cloth masks may be preferable to medical ones. Those with pre-existing breathing conditions, such as asthma or COPD, especially should follow this advice, Dryden says. People with asthma need to keep their peak flow meter and bronchodilators with them in case they have an attack. I advise them to try to stay more aware of their breathing while wearing a mask. Living Well is designed to provide general information. It is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice. Readers should consult their physicians when they have health problems.